Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville, the podcast where we talk about each and every episode of Smallville. Except we're not talking Smallville this week, we're talking Supergirl, the modern-day Smallville. And I'm joined by my friends Lance Laster and Nick Ryan Magdoza to talk about Season 1 of Supergirl wrapped up this past week. What's up, guys?
Not much. How are you?
Doing great.
Hello, hello, hello. Staying dry. I'm trying to.
Staying dry. Let's really date the podcast with the weather references.
Oh. Thank you. Dang it.
No. We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep moving forward.
It's probably going to be raining anyways.
So Supergirl premiered last fall on CBS, America's Most Watched Network. The least watched show on America's Most Watched Network. The ratings are to be believed. No. Kind of throwing under the bus. I'm just kidding. Truth be told, I really enjoyed Supergirl. I didn't know what to make of it when they announced they're making a Supergirl TV show. I was like, what? What about you guys? Well, when you first heard about this show coming out, what did you think? Lance, what did you think?
At first, I was like, okay, cool, because, you know, I live for this stuff, so I'm all about superheroes. But really, I got on board when I found out that Melissa Benoist was going to be Supergirl.
Mm-hmm. And you know her from?
From Glee. I am a Gleek. Season 4, Episode 1 was her debut on the show, because that was when they started to introduce some new cast members to the show, because the original cast, they had graduated at that point. Well, most of them did. And so they needed some new people, because that's how school works. She, in that first episode, she sang my favorite Adele song, Chasing Pavements, and knocked it out of the park, and I was a fan of hers ever since.
Awesome.
I had my hand as an L on my forehead, by the way, when you said Gleek, because I used to be one. So... Well,
that used to mean loser. Le who is her?
Well, thanks, Zach. Well, for me, I guess I was really excited because I was totally on the whole Flash and Arrow train. But then I was just a little bit concerned that I was not on CW, and I was like, oh man,
that is a sentence no one has ever said in the history of time. You know, I was worried that it was not going to be on the CW.
The reason let me finish. The reason is because I really wanted to have like being on the same channel, so that way you can have crossover episodes, because that's what I loved about Arrow and Flash. And I was like, oh man, it's going to be a different network ish.
Yeah, well, so, CBS and the WB own CW, so they're in the same family of networks. Mm-hmm. Which allowed us to get that Flash Supergirl crossover, mm-hmm. Which we can talk about when we get there, because we finally got the Flash side of things.
Yeah,
in
we
the
did.
Most recent Flash episode. Oh man, that was disappointing. So for me, you know, obviously I'm a Superman fan first and foremost. Superman is my favorite hero. When they announced a show like Supergirl, I'm like, okay, how's this going to work? Like, is this – what I thought they should have done was tied it into one of the existing mythologies. You know, obviously they weren't going to do Smallville. It's ironic when you look at all the superhero shows we have today to kind of tie things in together to the podcast that we have here, Always Hold On to Smallville. Mm-hmm. When people talked about, oh, man, what if they might spin off Smallville? Well, what characters can they use? I don't know, Green Arrow, he'd be a great character to spin off. Oh, or Supergirl, that's a great character. Oh, remember that Flash episode? That was real cool. Or what about Aquaman? So there were literally even spinoffs of all these things. Aquaman, they actually tried to spin off during Smallville's run, but it wasn't going to be. We talked about this in the last episode, Nick, when we were talking about the spinoffs. I don't know why we talked about it. I don't know when that came up, but I know we talked about it. But there's an Aquaman pilot starring Justin Hartley, who played the Green Arrow on Smallville, after that show did not go to series. And it was going to, too, but that came out right when WB turned into CW. And they were going through some changes, and they decided not to pursue that. But that would have been inspired by the Aquaman episode of Smallville, but yet not been connected to it, which is just ridiculous. Like, that'd be like if they made a Flash TV show. Like, if the Flash TV show right now was not connected to Arrow. It wouldn't make any sense.
Nope.
We got an Aquaman show, sort of. We got a pilot, which, I said in the last episode of our podcast, I've yet to see, but I will one of these days. We got an Arrow show, a Green Arrow show. We have a Supergirl show, right? We have more or less like a Justice League kind of show, a TV Justice League show in Legends of Tomorrow. So all the things, all the fan speculations for years over Smallville, like, oh, what can we spin it off? What can we do? It'd be so cool. They've all come to pass, but they're not connected to Smallville. So
yet.
Yeah.
Never give hope. Give up hope. Always hold on to Smallville.
On my world, it means the House of L. Stronger together. Wow. Remember that? Remember in the, all the when Supergirl was first coming out and they're showing all the advertisements, they have the whole line where she's like, it's not an S. It's the House of L. It means stronger together. You're like, oh, well, we just spent the last 3 years being told it meant hope. So,
and we spent the last episode reminding us that it meant hope as well.
But I guess bottom line, you know, I was skeptical of this, but then when I found out, oh, it's actually going to be Supergirl. She's going to have a costume. Thank goodness, right? Mm-hmm. Because I remember the initial rumors they were thinking about calling it Super.
Or
Girl. Like, I don't know if these were just... If these were just rumors or whatever, but when the story first started to come out about this, and it's just an odd choice to do a Supergirl show when like it's understood like Superman cannot be on television, and we'll get into that here as we talk about the show and the season and how they handle the character of Superman. I'm not sure how I feel about it, honestly.
I think I know how you feel. About it.
Well, it's complicated. So yeah, you know, I was somewhat concerned they would do like a Birds of Prey thing where it's like Superman's gone. He's either like in the Supergirl the movie, the 1984 movie with Helen Slater, who plays Supergirl's adoptive mother on this show. He would be off the planet,
off world,
which they actually do sort of in one episode. I was also wondering like maybe this would be post death of Superman. I thought that might have been a nice approach, but then you have so much mythology. You know, you have to talk about like Doomsday and all this stuff, but that not that Birds of Prey is a show you should base yourself off of, but that might have been an interesting angle for this show. Another angle which I thought of, which I thought would be really cool, and I thought it was really smart for coming up with it, is if Supergirl was truly part of the Flash and the Arrow universe, they would make it so Supergirl got here when she was supposed to, but like Clark
was a baby still.
Yeah, Clark was a baby still. You know, and then she spends the whole series like looking for Clark, and in the last scene of the show is her walking up to like the Kent farm or whatever, right? That would have been pretty cool. And people are like, this is how it works in the comics, man. I'm like, that's how it works in the comics. None of this is how it works in the comics, okay? Right. So just if you understand, if you hate the conceit, you can't use Superman on television, right around it. And those are some other ways. So what they chose to do instead was just be like, hey, Superman, he's going to text message you, and he's gonna be CGI.
He's gonna aim you.
Yeah, is that what it is? Is it aiming? Like, is no one? I think it's like Google, no one, like, it's Google Messenger, or something. Like working in the IT world. Like, I'm pretty sure someone's monitoring traffic.
Good thing
like, Wynn
is in charge of the IT.
So oh yeah, that's true.
I liked Supergirl season one. I think we're all on the same page here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I went in with an open mind, like as I do with all these series. You know, I gave Gotham half a season. I gave S.H.I.E.L.D. half a season. I quit watching both of those shows as soon as I could.
Heard, though, S.H.I.E.L.D. is really good.
I'm sick
good.
Of hearing that. I'm sick of hearing that.
Everybody says
like, you know what? Maybe the first 11 episodes should have been good. Maybe here's a thought. All right?
It's like, oh, man. Year and a half of the show.
You know, look, I'm a DC guy anyway, so Marvel – look, when it comes to Marvel, I'm sticking with Netflix, and that's that. All right? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I gave it their chance. And Krypton at his chance. And with Gotham is just garbage. I don't know how anyone can defend Gotham. My dad watches Gotham. He's like, oh, it was a good show, son. I'm like, you kidding? Like,
yeah, he's so wrong on that.
It's Earth 27. Just think of it that way.
Yeah, Detective Comics 27. Yeah, whatever. And I watched that show. It's not like I just hear about these concepts and I'm like, that's ridiculous, and I don't give it a chance. I gave these shows a chance. I go into it with an open mind, and they're just disappointed to the highest degree.
It's like, awful. Like, there's no defending that show.
Like, and there really isn't. And I'll be honest here. Arrow season 3 and 4, if those were Arrow season 1, I probably would have stopped watching that show as well.
Agreed. You
know? True.
Fortunately, The Flash has been good from the jump, but that's been consistently good. And Supergirl was consistently good. Like, it had some strong points and some – I mean, that's what we're here to talk about. We're here to break it down. So Supergirl, like, I think, Lance, you mentioned Melissa Benoist. And, yes. More which like I was calling
Melissa Benice. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. yes.
I'm sorry. She's very pretty.
Yeah, I think I'm in love with Melissa Benice. No, for real though, she's a good actress, first of all, because she plays all the like the quirkiness, and then she plays like the hero, and you buy her performance as Supergirl. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she really sells it very well. and she has to balance a lot. I mean, she has her, like anyone who's playing a Superman character in the Superman family, Supergirl, I mean, let's face it, she was created as the girl version of Superman, all right? That's just how it is. So when you're playing that character, you have to play, like, the dorky human facade. You have to play, like, the superhero, like, the world sees, and then you play, like, the vulnerable, the third part of all that is, like, the vulnerable real character who lies somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, Christopher Reeve captured so well. She does a great job, and she brings a lot of energy and optimism and hope, right, which is a huge theme of this show. And it's great to have a superhero who's happy, and that's why The Flash is so good, too. You know, it's a nice change of pace, because in all these movies, everybody's so, oh, I hate being a superhero, or, oh, these powers are a curse, and da 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 da, you know, or why me, you know. But in these shows, they enjoy – superheroes that enjoy being heroes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Now, filling out the rest of the cast, we got our boy Mikad Brooks as Jimmy Olsen.
Woo.
Thoughts on this guy?
Oh, at first, I didn't know exactly what to think of this guy and how this dude was going to be Jimmy Olsen. But what I liked what they did was, because I was like, you look at it, I was just like, there's no way this guy could pull off being Jimmy Olsen, because this is not what we think of when we think of Jimmy Olsen. We don't think of some 6'4", super cut, super well-dressed black dude like as Jimmy Olsen. You just don't think of it that way. But the way that he played him, and like how he's a very insecure person because he became Superman's friend, was interesting. I was like, kudos to you for getting that to happen.
Yeah, they gave him, even though he was like, he came off as like a big strong guy who had it all together, had the world of his oyster, like he had that inner insecurity, which you bought, which they try to sell you in other like shows with characters like that. You don't buy it. I bought it for this case.
And what I liked about it is, like, in the beginning, I didn't feel comfortable because it seemed like he was just going to be this big shot guy trying to show all the rules. But then as soon as he showed some type of vulnerability, that's when we like, oh, there's more depth to this character.
You connect to him, definitely.
Yeah.
So I was looking at his IMDb. And first of all, he was born in Austin, Texas. So that's cool. Fellow Texan. He's been in lots of, you know, TV shows like Boston Public, Desperate Housewives, True Blood. But the thing that stuck out most to me was he was in Glory Road.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, wow.
He's the guy that, like, his mom, Octavia Spencer, comes to class. Like, it's in that scene in the trailer where, like, he's not doing well in classes, so she comes up to school, and like, who knows the answer to this? He's like, my son knows the answer to this. And he's just like,
So you're telling me Jimmy Olsen was teammates with Pete Ross in Glory Road?
That's right.
Because Sam Jones III, once again, tying it back to Smallville, Sam Jones III was on the team in Glory Road.
It's all connected.
With Josh Lucas. You gotta take it!
Take it!
Well, whatever happened to Josh Lucas, by the way? Does anybody know?
He did Poseidon, and I think that was it.
Exactly. He did Stealth. Oh. Stealth, bringing it back.
Oh, God, Stealth.
Bring it back. So... Poseidon, a remake of the Poseidon Adventure from the 70s. But anyway, yeah, Mikad Brooks was fine. But I guess my main issue with his Jimmy Olsen was we already had a Jimmy Olsen on the show. Jeremy Jordan played Winslow Schott Jr., the son of the Toy Man. And Jeremy Jordan, I guess, I was of all this cast, you know, he was one of the ones I was more familiar with because he was in the movie of the last 5 years, which just came out. Last year, which is a great musical, and I recommend everybody hear it. It's about a relationship and over a course of 5 years, but it's still from chronologically from different directions. The Anna Kendrick was the and we're talking about the movie version here, but Andrew Kendrick was the girl, and Jeremy Joseph, we know Jeremy Joseph, what's up, buddy? Probably not listening, but it's fine. I know a couple of Jeremy Josephs, actually.
Yeah, both Jeremy Josephs. What's up?
Yeah, but Jeremy Jordan. Jeremy Jordan is the guy. Completely different character than Wynn, you know, just could not be further apart.
Oh God, yeah.
So anyway, it was interesting to see him as basically Jimmy Olsen. If you haven't seen this show, the best way to describe you is this guy's Jimmy Olsen. And this is what these CW shows do, right? And even tracing back to Smallville, they give you two versions of every character, right? On Arrow, you get two Deathstrokes, you get two Black Canaries. On The Flash, you get two Reverse Flashes, you know. They do this, and on Smallville, you literally get two Jimmy Olsens.
Yep.
You also get two Lex Luthors, because Lionel Luthor is pretty much Lex Luthor as well. The Lana Lang was pretty much split up between Chloe and Lana, and then Lois is also Chloe. And it's just, there's a lot of character overlap, because they want to use all these interpretations of characters. But bottom line, if you remove James Olsen from this show, and you call Winslow Schott Jr. Jimmy Olsen, it makes perfect sense. Like, there's no, like, those are bigger sense. Like, he, other than wearing a bow tie, right? So yeah, let's talk about Winslow Schott Jr. What'd you think of him? The ultimate friend zone guy, right? Super friend zone.
Hey, they hammered that concept home.
Yeah, it was on the money, and it was I enjoyed his character. His storyline was kind of iffy in the beginning because they really did feel like, what's the point of him? But then it opened up a whole new, like, what's the word I'm looking for? You were getting Jimmy Olsen, but you weren't also getting the whole, it was going to be Jimmy Olsen getting in a relationship type of deal that everyone was expecting in the beginning. And to see that friend zone was kind of weird because I wanted them to be together, but now it makes complete sense.
And it's interesting because they are the three main characters of the show, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Kara, James, and Winslow. Win, as they call him. And, you know, there's a love triangle, but there's also, like, other people involved. I mean, like, as you know, James Olsen, he's in a relationship with Lucy Lane, sister of Lois Lane, played by Jenna Dewan Tatum. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum's wife.
That's right.
I did not know that until, like, the second episode she was in. I was like, wait a second.
Speaking of Calista Flockhart, did you know who she was?
Yes, I knew who I watched Ally McBeal growing up.
There we go.
I just didn't know Jenna was married to Channing Tatum until, like, the lip-syncing battle that they had. And I was like, wait a second, they're married?
Heck yeah, lip-sync battle.
Well, forget Channing Tatum. Calista Flockhart is married to Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
When are we going to get Perry White on this show played by Harrison Ford?
That'd be amazing.
Come on, Calista. Get your boy on the show.
She already name-dropped Harrison Ford, so I don't think you're going to ever get him anymore.
I'm not doing some stupid TV show that superheroes, it's garbage.
76 years old.
When is Indiana Jones 5 come out?
It's coming out soon, isn't it?
Or is Shia going to be in it? Anyway, love squares and triangles and whatever. There were a few episodes there where I felt like they got a little too far into that. Like, who cares about all these people's love lives? But that's what these shows are about, apparently, right? So, to that point, let's talk about Kara's sister, Alex Danvers.
I was about to say, we need to talk about Alex.
Yeah, because, you know, a character invented for the show, right? This character does not exist. When they came out with, like, the cast rundown of this series, when they announced it, I was like, Alex, really? So this is going to be her Lex Luthor, right? You know, I thought, we're literally gender swapping everyone in Superman. This is what this is going to be. Yeah, Alex is a pretty good character. Like, I thought I was going to be annoyed by her. I thought she was going to be my least favorite character. I do have a least favorite character. We'll get to that later. But you all know who it is. And I'm pretty sure we all agree. But so Kyler Lay is her name? Is that how you pronounce it?
It's Lay or Lee?
Lee.
I can't remember.
Such a white person name, right? Kyler. Chyler. She was apparently on Grey's Anatomy. She was...
she was Lexi.
She
looks like a character from Grey's Anatomy.
She was Meredith Grey's younger sister. You know, just another one of these TV actresses. I think she does a good job. You know, I was really, being a chauvinistic male as I am, I was like, is it going to be girl talk and sisterhood every episode? But it wasn't. You know, it was actually very well handled, and they had their girl nights, and it's cute, and it's entertaining. It's not, like, in-your-face annoying. And that's a big deal. For me not to complain about that is a big deal.
I think there was one episode that was like that, and it did kind of, I forget which one it was. But I do remember it's like, ooh, I hope it doesn't keep going down this path. And then they completely, like, changed it. And then I was happy about
and,
it.
And, you know, they do address the fact that she is an interesting character because Kara's her adopted sister. So she always felt kind of inferior to her and always having to, like, push harder and try harder for all that stuff because I'm never going to measure up to this. Literally a super, super being right here is my sister. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she pushes herself very hard. She becomes the best of the best at what she does. And she works for the DEO, which is the Department of Extraterrestrial, what does the O stand for in DEO? Does he might know?
Extraterrestrial.
Look it up, Nick.
Observations?
Look it up, Nick. I'm going to keep talking. Look it up. You looking it up?
Yeah, I am. Okay.
I don't hear that keyboard. There we go.
Apparently, there's a stock called DEO. What in the world is that coming up?
Just search DEO Supergirl. But anyway.
There you go. Department of Extra Normal Operations.
That is such a BS. Extra normal. So basically, it's Argus.
Yes.
On Prime Earth, it's Argus.
Right. Prime Earth, no. We are Prime Earth.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
But no. There is no Argus because we're in the real world. Okay.
That's what they want us to think.
Earth 1 is Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow. Earth 2 is whatever the Earth 2 is on that universe. And I don't know. I guess this would be Earth 3. I don't know. But Earth CBS.
I don't know, because they have that whole thing called the Cisco's like show where he's talking to us, Earth Prime Earth. So I don't know if we're in the same Earth.
Oh, you know, I saw that. So I'm looking forward to that. That takes me back to the Smallville days of the Chloe Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Those were the days.
It is called Cisco Chronicles. Chronicles of Cisco.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. But that, I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, I don't even know what we're talking about. We're talking about Alex Danvers. And yeah, we'll have to do a special episode for on this podcast about all those in between season things. Chloe Chronicles, the Vengeance Chronicles, AccuView to the Rescue. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the character of Alex could have easily been the worst character on the show. And they did a really good job with it, and they addressed mm-hmm. the fact, yes, you know what? I am jealous on some level, and they come to terms with that, and it's good stuff. It's good stuff between the two of them. Then their boss at the DEO is Hank Henshaw, or is it? Played by David Harewood. Once again, a guy I had never really seen in anything. He's apparently in Blood Diamond, for what that's worth.
Yeah, he is.
I feel like I've seen – oh, maybe it was Blood Diamond. I do remember seeing him.
He was also in Homeland, the TV show Homeland.
And
was also on the TV show Robin Hood, which apparently was a TV show in 2009. They made another.
I had no idea.
That's got to be one of the most like interpreted characters ever, Robin Hood, right? But let's see. After 5 years of fighting in the Crusades, Robin returns to England and leads a band of outlaws to outwit the Sheriff of Nottingham. Who is
Yawn?
Who, is it? Is this he? Green Arrow? But in London?
I'm trying to see who David Harewood was. He was Tuck. So he's Friar Tuck?
Wow.
All right. Anyway, I liked him as Hank Henshaw. Well, here's the deal with his character. Spoilers, right? I mean, you should know. So.
Which, this was very obvious, by the way.
Yeah, so everybody knows Hank Henshaw is Cyborg Superman. So you're like, okay, is this pre-Hank Henshaw becoming Cyborg Superman or post-Hank Henshaw becoming Cyborg Superman? But that's not what they do. Tell us what they do, Lance.
They make him the Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, that was a curveball, wasn't it? Like,
not really to me. Like, because as soon as I saw his eyes glow red that mm-hmm. very first time, like, I think they wanted you to think it's like, oh, could he be Cyborg Superman? And that's, you know, like, you know, the robot in him going on.
Eyes, yeah.
I was like, no, it's obviously going to be Martian Manhunter.
I remember
he works for the DEO, you know, like, you know, he's involved with aliens the entire time. It's the perfect cover. It made too much sense for it to not be.
Well, the reason they threw everybody off is you know, they used another comic book character's name. Like, if he'd been director John Jones, you'd be like, oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
But director Hank Henshaw, it really throws you off. Like, I didn't think they would bring Martian Manhunter into the show, so I was surprised.
I was actually really surprised how early they decided to reveal Martian Manhunter. And I'm actually kind of happy that they did, because it helped a lot to push the story, and it filled the whole plot hole of someone's going to notice Kara's not at work when Supergirl's around, and they addressed it
one time.
I was just like, that's awesome.
And I was waiting for that in Smallville to be like, oh, obviously in the series finale of Smallville, we're going to have Superman, we're going to have Clark, it's going to be great. And I thought, oh, it's going to be awesome because they're going to have, like, a press conference where Superman's talking, and you're going to see, like, Clark Kent in the audience asking a question.
That would have been so good.
And they can laugh about how they look alike and then take a picture together or something. You know what I mean? And then it would be Martian Manhunter Philip Morris, our boy Jackie Childs, that's who. Philip Morris, who was awesome as Martian Manhunter on Smallville. And that was another character they talked about spinning off, but, you know, never did. And that's how you solve the problem of how do you prove to people that Clark Kent and Superman are the same person, you know? So yes, he was a huge part of this season, and we got flashbacks to him on Mars with white Martians. I mean, this is like, whoa, who would have thought we'd ever gotten that kind of stuff, right? I'm glad that they, like you guys said, I'm glad they didn't tease that throughout the whole season. Like, I think like halfway through the first season, or maybe a little further than that, we find out who he is and all that stuff.
It was earlier than halfway through.
And great special effects, right? For a TV budget.
He looked really, really good.
I mean, he's like awesome. Yeah, he looks tall. It's a combination of like practical and CGI, but man, he looks great. They were obviously not using him in the movies, you know, because they replaced him with Cyborg. And I understand the reasoning why behind all that. Because he's basically just another Superman, just more powerful. It's redundant. But, you know, sure, let's get him on the TV show. Now, does that take away – do you guys think that takes away from Supergirl at all to have Martian Manhunter around all the time?
I don't think so, especially considering he made a like they made a conscious effort to show how he was not going to like interfere or like try to like he didn't want to show his powers and he like it took him a while to kind of come out like Kara just basically did her own thing and he just kind of was like hero support
Much
for
like on Smallville with Martian Manhunter.
His character, I can even see it going on to next season that because of the second storyline that we're going to be getting.
Well, we'll get let's hope so. We'll get there.
Yeah,
we'll get
well.
there. I kind of mentioned her earlier, but Calista Flockhart, I got to say this. Cat Grant is my favorite character on this show. I never thought I was going to say that.
Cat Grant? Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
Sure.
I was actually very nervous for Calista Flockhart. I was like, is she even relevant anymore? And
What is this, 1999?
Exactly, but
Where's that dancing baby from
she
Ally
is
McBeal?
she was I was actually hoping that we were gonna get that somewhere, but we didn't actually get that anywhere. But she surprised me the most. Like, she is the character that puts the show together, if
Oh,
you will.
absolutely, because she's the one that, like, she for whatever reason, she is like the compass of the show, if you
She
will.
is.
Like, she could just be ridiculous because Cat Grant traditionally has been played for laughs. Like, Tracy Scoggins played her on Lois and Clark.
Yeah, she was not a serious character. She was just,
In Young Justice, she was just like a random reporter.
There. Oh. There were two, talking about two of each character. There were two Cat Grants on Smallville.
There were.
It's like,
Wow.
get your ass together, show. That's a way of not swearing and using a Superman reference. But anyway, this was a very, and we got to remember, this is like 10 years on from all the Superman stuff we've seen, right? Jimmy Olsen's older, and you're dressing like what would an older Jimmy Olsen be like? Growing up in Superman's shadow, everybody knows you're Superman's pal. He's famous because of Superman,
Yeah.
and that he has a good job, but he still can't get out of that shadow, right? And Cat Grant, she's 10 years on from where we had seen her, and she talked about how she was like the gossip reporter and that kind of thing. So she's still got one foot in that world, but at the same time, she's kind of obviously she's done very well for herself.
Yeah,
And she talks
that's
about that,
fair.
and I do like she talks about like the gender politics, and it needs to be addressed. And she's like, Perry White threw a chair out a window while it was closed at a meeting of the Daily Planet. And she's like, if I would have thrown a tissue, I would have been, criticized for being an emotional woman. And I thought, that's an interesting point. I'm glad they're addressing
Well,
that. And it's
it's
a
not
very
just an interesting point, it's a true point. Like that it's just,
Well, it's tough to tackle this stuff without being like too on the nose about it or
but the thing,
cheesy,
but
but they do a good
again,
job.
again, we've had this conversation before on stuff like this. Like, I mean, this is something I guess, that you, Zach, don't really necessarily understand, but it has to be on the nose for people to understand that it happens.
And you're talking about just minorities in general,
Yes, I
obviously.
am.
So, Jimmy Olsen seems to be doing fine for himself.
He's doing real well for himself. I trade places with Jimmy Olsen. I'll just say that.
Yeah, in between Melissa and Jenna.
So, who is you guys' favorite character then?
Cat and March Manhunter.
What about you, Nick?
Maxwell Lord. I'm just kidding.
Oh, God.
Well, no, we're almost there, but
Cat, yeah, definitely Cat is in the top. I would probably do. I'll do a top three. It'd be Cat Grant, then Supergirl, and then Hank
yeah,
Henshaw.
I mean, obviously, and Supergirl is great. It's just so generic to say, "Oh, Supergirl's my favorite character on Supergirl." So it's
Well, yeah,
like,
well, because well, obviously we love what she did. Like,
yeah,
we love the
obviously,
title character, but other people like it's other people have to make up the team,
Right.
yeah, and I don't dislike a character on the show, other than
Oh.
Maxwell Lord. Right, this guy is the worst.
Poor man's Lex.
He is a yeah, he's a bargain bin Lex Luthor. Peter Facinelli, right? The guy's like straight out of soap opera television. When I looked at this guy's IMDb, he was on Glee apparently as well, Lance.
What?
His name, he was Rupert Campion.
Whew.
Do you remember this guy?
No.
He
he, he was in, looks like he was in one, two, three, four episodes of Glee, in 2013 and 2014. He
What
was on.
season is that?
I'm not a Gleek like you guys. I don't know.
13, that would probably be season 3.
He was also in the Twilight movies as a
Oh,
Dr.
who was
Cullen,
in?
Wait, he was he the he was.
Dr.
Oh,
Carlisle Cullen. I don't know anything
yeah.
about Twilight.
I'm trying to think of who this guy was in Glee.
Yeah. So anyway, here's the deal with him. Whenever he has lines or dialogue, I just imagine how much better it would be if Michael Rosenbaum was saying them. Like as Lex Luthor, like the delivery, the cadence, just the attitude. Like I don't know. I don't know if it's the writing. I don't know if the acting. I don't know what it is, but I just do not like Maxwell Lord at all on this show. And all I can only think about is, man, I wish this was like Lex Luthor or Morgan Edge or somebody, or just a better actor. Like I said, I don't know. What do you guys think? Because you guys aren't Maxwell Lord fans either in this show, are you?
No, I just don't. I don't think he fit. And it's just like it was too obvious that he was this universe's Lex Luthor in a universe where Superman exists, but Lex Luthor apparently doesn't.
We have some more criticisms about that we'll get into, but yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird how that didn't click. I don't know. It's just weird how he just kind of didn't fit to me. And like, he wasn't like the villain the whole time either. That they tried to do something like, well, are he and Alex going to become a thing? It was just weird.
Yeah, I think his character was a lot of testing of the water. It's like, okay, yes, let's see what we can do with him. Let's make him the douchebag that no one was going to like. Okay, let's give him a little romantic interest maybe. And now let's just make him crazy, like, wants to protect the Earth. Like, the whole wants to protect the Earth is definitely, but through what he thinks is right, is definitely a poor man's Lex. But the season finale, I actually liked his character a little bit. Because he wasn't trying to be an ass. And I think that was the problem that I had with him, was that it always seemed like he was just trying to be it.
Well, then he explained why. Maybe we got a little bit more explanation there. But yeah, his bit parents more. Died. Nobody believed that he found the problem. I did like what he said about the Kryptonians. He said, everything I feared has come to pass. You know, like everything I ever talked about, these guys are going to do, they've done. So, I mean, he did. You can't argue his point there. It's just such a Lex Luthor motivation. And it's
yes.
Like,
But what was really interesting that I didn't really like about the end, like how fast he flipped his decision. Like, he was ready to kill all these people. And it's like, we have an idea. And then the idea is talking. So I was kind of put off. Like, that was the only thing I could say.
I guess he knew that if this didn't work, he just used his bomb anyway. You know what I mean? That's the way. He's like, fine, I'll humor these guys and go along with their plan. So, yeah, I guess you could say he had a character arc, but I don't think it was earned. Like, he just made different decisions all the time, whatever the plot required. Like you said, Nick, they just seemed to be just trying
to find his place.
Exactly. Yeah. Not really sure where to put him. So, weak, very weak. And if he's like the overarching villain, a villain, I use that in quotes now because they're all friends. But then in the finale, you see that he's got some shady stuff going on in the background with General Lane. I like the callback to the Omega Hedron. Mm-hmm. Which is like, that's some serious inside baseball, because that is the object in Supergirl the movie with Helen Slater that she's going after, that powers Argo City and goes to Earth or whatever. Yep. And then Faye Dunaway gets it, and that's just terrible, but we won't go into that right now. So General Lane and Maxwell Lord are kind of working behind the scenes to study this Kryptonian technology. I'm sure Maxwell Lord would continue to invent things that Lex Luthor did in the comics because they keep calling him like the most dangerous man on Earth and all this stuff. And like, yeah, he's... They could have given us, like, I don't know, Lena Luthor or something, right? That would have made sense, right? She's in charge of LexCorp West.
There you go.
Lex's sister, but...
Or Alexandra Luthor.
Oh, man, next season...
We'll probably get that.
Next
we'll
season, get we're going to get LexCorp expansion to California, and Lena Luthor. You heard it here, folks. Heard it here first, folks.
I like how California.
Well, I mean, that's what it is, right? By the way, General Sam Lane, right? This is my favorite Sam Lane, and I'm a huge Mike Ironside fan. Guy. Commence bombing of Skynet.
Man, that's my favorite line of his ever.
Michael Ironside, you'll know him from Total Recall. Welcome to the party, Victor. And
yes.
And you know, he's also in X-Men First Class as a cameo, and then he's also in Terminator Salvation as Christian Bale's boss in the Resistance. But
commence bombing of Skynet.
Anyway, General Sam Lane here, he's played by Glenn Morshower. And this guy, I know him from Star Trek Next Generation. He was a guest star in season 2. He was like a security guy. Like, Worf was off the ship and he was the guy filling in. So that's the first thing I saw this guy in. So I always think of that. He's been in lots of other shows too. He's been like the X-Files. He was in Babylon 5. He was in Voyager. Like he's just
I think he was in like Transformers too, right?
Or yeah, something. Yo, so his most recent, probably biggest role you see him, he's like the head army guy in Transformers.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. So I'm scrolling through his IMDb because I just wanted to confirm. In the first Transformers movie, right?
Yeah.
His name was Colonel Sharp. In Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, he was General Morshower. So I guess he's just a different character and they used his last name. I don't know. And then I'm trying to see. Oh, he was an X-Men First Class as well.
Yeah. Because at the end, like, he's like, boys, it's been a pleasure, or something like
that. No. Michael Ironside was in X-Men First Class. This guy, Glenn Morshauer, was in X-Men First Class. That's what I'm saying. He was a colonel. So they were both recent Sam Lanes are in this.
Oh, no, yeah, that guy. No, that guy was,
he's a guy called Colonel Hendry. I don't know.
Yeah, he is who Betty Draper goes to seduce at one point in the movie, early in the movie.
Okay, all right, yes. Emma Frost.
Yeah, January Jones.
And he's also been in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a general. This guy is typecast. But he does a damn good job playing the military guy, right? That's what I'm saying. I like it. And he was, you know, in the episode where they capture Allura, and he's talking about why he doesn't like aliens.
Yeah.
You know, like his dad took him to see The Day the Earth Stood Still and stuff like that. But anyway, so this is a genre guy. If you watch any kind of genre TV, you know, or movies, you've seen this guy's face. And he's my favorite Sam Lane, you know? So
he was good.
Good on you. And then speaking of the Lane family tree, we already kind of mentioned Jenna Dewan Tatum as Lucy Lane. I thought she was fine. You know, she could have been a character where you like didn't like her, but they did a good job of making you like her. So you like understood why Jimmy was with her, and you know, they didn't dwell too much on the whole. And I think everybody handled all the love triangle stuff pretty maturely. You know, I think Wynn handled it pretty well. Like, look, we just need some space. We can't be friends. Cause you know, Wynn tries to kiss her in that one episode and Kara's like, no. And then like, you can't just go back to being friends like that. I mean, that's the problem. Smallville was like, crazy stuff would happen. Clark could be on Red Kryptonite or possessed by somebody, do all this unforgivable stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the next episode, he, like, goes up to Chloe and is like, hey, are we cool? She's like, yeah, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, you kidding? Like, he just ruined my life last week, you know? but same thing with Lucy. Like, she figures, there's a really cool, like, I don't know, really cool, I don't know if that's the word for it, but there's a really touching story, I guess, Jimmy tells Kara about, like, the camera he uses, and like his dad gave him a camera, and like it's obviously a very personal story to Jimmy that he doesn't share with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Later on in the season, Kara is trying to talk to Lucy about Jimmy, and like, oh yeah, he's cool, just like, you know, he's always trying to help people, like, you know, with this camera, and then, you know, his dad gave him that camera. And Kara repeats this story to Lucy, and it's obvious that Lucy had never heard this story, and you're like, oh no. She's like, oh, thank you, that's very helpful, Kara. And then Lucy just goes and rakes up with Jimmy. He's like, look, you never talked about your dad, you never told me this story about the camera, you love her and that's fine, and just have your space. And everyone is very mature about it, you know. And
they handle it like adults.
Well, they are adults, unlike these other shows.
That's exactly what I was gonna say, because they're adults. Yeah. And I think that's what makes this like great, because like we were talking about it last episode, that it's high school. Whenever Lana did something in Smallville, it's like, oh well, it's a high school girl. That makes sense. And here, you have no room to go make a tantrum or like argue about the little things. This is like this is their jobs. This is what they do day to day. And I think that's what I like about it, is that you can actually relate to it in the sense that, hey, that can actually happen at work, or hey, these are real world things that connect to us at this level.
So then finally, I guess the last recurring guest star I would say would be Allura, who would be Allura, was that her mom? Oh, yeah, her Allura was her mom, Astra was her aunt. Aunt Astra.
We had more of Aunt Astra than Allura.
Yeah, so it's like I was very confused why they chose to make them twins.
Because we have to have two.
Exactly, right? It's like, is this some kind of like cost cutting measure? Like, oh, we use the same actress twice. Like, that's such a Smallville move, right?
It is, but you know what? They keep using it.
Originally on Smallville, Sam Witwer played Doomsday. Yeah, Davis Bloom in season 8. Ooh. If I recall correctly, the original idea was he was going to play Zod in season 9. And I don't know what it was. I know he voiced some displeasure about how they wrapped up the character of Davis Bloom, and I completely agree with him, and I respect him more as an actor that he actually said these things, because it was not very well handled. And he's a nerd of the people. He's in all this Star Wars stuff. Like, he's the voice of Darth Maul in Clone Wars and Rebels, and he was Starkiller in all the Force Unleashed games. So, but anyway, and he's in
a vampire.
Yeah, and vampire with I think Being Human, and I think Jimmy Olsen from Superman Returns was a werewolf. There's so many of these superhero properties now. They all overlap. But anyway, Sam Witwer's a cool guy. But in the episode where Lois gets possessed by Zod's wife, Feyora, she's talking to Dave. She's like, oh, you're the spitting image of your father. And that kind of sets up the fact that, oh, good, he can be Zod in the next season. I'm glad he wasn't, because Callum Blue was a great Zod.
He was really good.
I guess the point is, but what I'm getting at here is, why not just cast two different actresses? I don't understand. Like, because Laura Benanti is her name, and
Danny Pino's wife.
Yeah, Danny Pino from Lance and I know her from Law and Order SVU. Like, this, and she was like his cheating wife, and it was so funny. Like, however,
who's in DC?
Yeah, she moved to DC. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's very inside baseball. There's no point in going into it. But she was also in the Sound of Music. Did you guys see this? The Sound
she
of Music.
Was. She was not. She was basically the woman that was trying to marry Captain Von Tramp. But
This is the NBC live version that came out.
The live version. Yeah, I was like, wait a second. I'm pretty sure they'll be pretty old.
she was the baby.
Yeah, because Carrie Underwood was Maria.
Anyway, what did you guys think of that? I just thought that was really weird and uncalled for. I thought, oh, maybe she's gonna like try to make Supergirl think she's her mom. Like, that would have been cliche and silly. But at least would have made sense why they'd be twins, you know?
I think part of it was just to show that Supergirl would have to have, like, an inner struggle because, A, Asha reminded him of her mom, and so she couldn't really be mad.
Yeah, but you can cast an actress that looks kind of like her. She doesn't have to be exactly the same person.
That's true. But, like, I also feel like they killed her off too quickly, too. Like, I thought they were going to, like, make her stay a little bit longer and help her out a little bit more. I actually saw her one. I was thinking that it would be like a whole episode where she was actually a good guy or something like that, and then she dies because
I did like how they handled her character, where she was conflicted, and yes, she wanted to save Kara, but she never truly like, oh, I'm a good guy now, you know? Because that's very cliche and very, and you see that a lot in shows like this. But no, I mean, she stuck to it and was like, even though she wanted to save her niece, she was all about this whole Myriad plan, and she stuck to it to the end. And you know, talking about killing her off, yeah, I mean, they killed her off probably, what, about two-thirds of the way through the season? But then they're able to deal with all the ramifications of that, which I think is great. Yeah. You know, because so often these shows, like, all these deaths happen, like, in a season finale. And then by the time you come back, it's like, oh, well, that was 3 months ago. Everybody's fine. They move on. But they had to actually deal with the ramifications. And then, we have all the Kryptonians and her husband, Non, right? Let's talk about Non for a second. He's played by Chris Vance, who I'd never seen in anything. But so I looked him up, and he is the main character in Transporter, the series.
Oh my god.
They made a show about Transporter, and he is the Transporter in the TV show. So
did they cancel that show? Or is it still going?
You know, it was from 2012 and it has two seasons, so I think it might be over. He was also in Rizzoli and Isles.
Oh man.
Oh, I love that show when it was on.
Of course you did. He was also in Prison Break, like everybody else in these shows.
Everybody's in Prison Break.
So anyway, he was okay, but he was just he was just there. Like, he just filled the role. Like, nothing about him stuck out as memorable or kind of like Rachel Ghoul was in Arrow season 3. Like, he's just there. You know what I mean?
I was kind of confused. Was Indigo like hitting on it? Did they have a past?
They had an affair.
Well, yeah, clearly before he got with Astra, him and Indigo had a thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, speaking of Indigo, Laura Vandervoot, right? Yeah. I liked her better as this than I did as Supergirl back in Smallville.
Little Miss Wheatcorn.
Yeah, I mean, she was like, gosh, she was like 22, I think.
She was.
She was in Smallville, so it's like, man, she hasn't aged at all. Yeah, because she's 32. Like,
she's exactly painted all over. So
she's painted blue. Yeah, she had a few scenes on a screen looking like herself, but having her play Indigo kind of doesn't allow for like multiverse crossover with Smallville, huh?
No.
So, but I think she was great. I mean, she was in a couple episodes and very memorable. And she enjoys being a bad guy, and that's fun to see. She's evil and she knows it, and she has fun about it. Yeah, I really liked her, but I think she's dead, huh? Like,
She's dead.
Oh, she's dead. Because Martian Manhunter rips her in half.
Hey, that was really surprising for
me. That was pretty awesome.
I was just like,
oh, cool.
But of course, the whole concept of her character is she can like go into like atoms and pixels and then come back.
Yeah.
So the kind of like Brainiac in Smallville, right? You know, the possibility always exists for him to come back because he's just software. You know, he can hide and things like that. I don't know. I think she did a great job, and I think we probably, if Supergirl lasts, you know, a few more seasons, I think we'll definitely see her again because they like the cross. Oh, look, we have Supergirl versus Supergirl. I will say, just because her skin was blue, they should not have made her suit blue because she looks like a Mystique knockoff, right? That's pretty much my only complaint about the character. I'm like, wow, she's Mystique. Because at first I was like, she's supposed to be naked? Or is this some bad TV version of that? Or I don't know, but they should have done different colors. Now, talking about that, what about Red Tornado? You guys remember that episode?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't very good.
That costume was not so good, not so hot.
Yeah. For me, I thought it was cool until I watched Young Justice, and I was like, oh, that didn't give it real justice.
Yeah, that's the Red. Yeah, didn't do that justice, did they? Yeah. They totally should have done the Martian Manhunter deal with Red Tornado. Like, either made him CGI or... Having the human face and like the padding and all that stuff just did not go over well. And then they killed Dr. Teo Moro, mm-hmm. who was just a pretty big time, you know, scientist character.
He's a fixture in the DCU.
Yeah, so just mm-hmm. like they killed what's his name that from the Amazo.
Ivo.
Yeah, Dr. Ivo on Arrow. You know.
Oh, they did.
Oh, he was just tired. That's like one of my favorite lines from season two.
Oh,
yeah. He's not crazy. He's just tired.
Shut up, Sarah. Just talk about Stockholm Syndrome, right? He's got a lot on his mind right now.
That was so funny.
Talking about other characters, I really liked Silver Banshee, Italia Ricci, who I had to look up.
Siobhan.
Yeah, Siobhan. Which I still don't know how there's a B in Siobhan, to paraphrase Kara. But I had to look up this actress, and I was like, is she related to Christina Ricci? But she's not, even though she looks just like her. Yeah, that's the same last name. They're not related. And we're always talking about this on the Smallville podcast. This is a Smallville podcast, but when we're talking about Smallville, we're like, man, you know, I wish these freaks of the week, they would have established them like maybe two or three episodes ago, just a couple scenes here, a couple scenes there.
Yeah, because I like with her, like she should have been introduced a little bit earlier.
Like 4 or 5 episodes. So
she wasn't 4 or 5, but still, they could have milked that a little bit longer.
Right, but still, I mean, they've at least understood the fact of like planting seeds of characters. Like her whole story with the Silver Banshee would not have been effective at all had she only been in like 1 or 2 episodes. You know.
Yeah.
And they did that with Livewire. It had a good story like for her, and to bring her back was actually great too for that episode, because it's like, oh hey, there is a possibility that other enemies are going to show up again, and it's not a freak of a week type of deal. It's like, oh yeah, we're going to have reoccurring people.
Right. So what did you think of Silver Banshee's costume? Was that makeup? Like,
it. If I understand correctly from that episode, it's like time for you to have a makeover. And so I guess that's what they decided with. And that was her makeup. Cause it's for what I remember, what she said, it was like, this is the real me. This is what I feel.
Yeah. But
the inside,
she had that vision in her head of the Silver Banshee. So I thought she was going to turn into that, you know, and which, just because that's how they did it in Smallville. That's how they did it in Smallville.
I kind of wish they explained that a little bit more, but you know, you never know. You might see her again.
That's your department, Nick. You're supposed to justify all this stuff.
My justification is they didn't actually get, like, they got arrested. And because the fact that Barry set up a way that they can catch metahumans, and it can still be a potential love interest, because Wynn still had really good, like, strong feelings
for
her.
And, you know, they had some good chemistry. Yeah, I like that. Wynn got some rebound. Good for him. So Livewire's costume was okay, I guess. I mean, Livewire is... You know, there's really not much else he can do. She doesn't really have a costume anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, all the costumes here, you know, Supergirl's costume is excellent, obviously. Really liked hers. And I like the evolution of the pilot, and where he shows her trying out the different costumes and all that. She's like, I'm not saving people in this. And it's like a bathing suit. She's like, I wouldn't even wear this to the beach.
Yeah. I think that was more for Wynn.
Yeah. He's like, well, hey, he got her to put it on. So good for you, Wynn. The costumes for the Kryptonians, though, were pretty disappointing, I thought. They look like wetsuits, right?
I think they probably were wetsuits.
Yeah.
Well, to be frank, they were all in jail, and that's all they had. So,
but what, they go to jail with their family crest on their costume?
Oh.
Justify that. But I don't know, whatever. I felt like a lot of, they handled a lot, so much of the costumes and world so well. Like, when you get to the Kryptonians, and it's not very intimidating when Nod is just wearing, like, Aqua Reef scuba diver. I don't even know a brand, but you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about her adoptive parents real quick. Helen Slater, we mentioned her. I think she did great here. Helen Slater and Dean Cain both. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Dean Cain played Superman on Lois and Clark, New Adventures of Superman. He that's actually a good theme, you know. See, Nick hasn't watched enough Lois and Clark. He has another theme.
I remember some episodes.
So Dean Cain and Helen Slater play Jeremiah and Eliza Danvers. These are characters that have been made up for this show, but they give Kara an adopted family, because in the comics, Kara lands with the Kents, and that would require too much interaction with the Superman world, so we can't have that. So the Danvers are scientists that help Superman understand his powers, or something like that. In one of the flashbacks, Dean says, I know everything there is to know about Superman. I'm like, oh, I get it, Dean Cain, because you were Superman. I think Helen Slater did excellent, really.
She did.
She plays like the mother of a, you know, she's a, you know, widowed wife now, or so we're led to believe. And she loves her daughters, and they give her a lot of emotional stuff to work with here. And I feel like that's, like, in her wheelhouse.
A lot to work with.
I feel like because Helen Slater also played Lara, Clark's biological mother on Smallville in a couple episodes. And I feel like they're
not have a lot to work with.
Yeah, didn't have a lot to work with. Wasn't really in her wheelhouse, like all this weird sci-fi. I'm a clone from Krypton. But, that didn't really work. And I understand why they cast her because she was Supergirl and all that. But here I actually think, this is a good fit. This is not just stunt casting like Smallville was for her. This is like good casting. And she did a good job. And she came back she's been in a couple episodes, three episodes total so far. And I look forward to seeing her. Because it's important to have these people's parents in their lives. I think that's an important factor to have.
Well, yeah, that's what makes Smallville so good, is that Clark's parents are involved.
But then Dean Cain, right? I think Dean Cain, at this point, at this juncture, he's still stunt casting. Like, anyone could have been Jeremiah Danvers, sure. Right?
Unless we make Dean Cain into a certain person, then it makes more sense.
So we're led to believe Dean Cain has been killed, or he's passed away, or he's died. I don't know. There's mysterious circumstances. It's a big mystery the first half of the season. You think Hank Henshaw was involved. Then we find out that Hank Henshaw, blackmailed blackmailed Jeremiah Danvers into working for him so the Danvers could keep Kara Danvers. So that's how he got working into that. And on some mission to go hunt down the Martian Manhunter, Jeremiah and the Martian Manhunter have a bonding experience for, I don't know, about 4 hours. And then Martian Manhunter's like, "Your husband was the kindest, greatest human I've ever met." It's like, wow. Hey, he left quite an impression.
Remember what I said?
He read his mind. Yeah, yeah.
He read his mind, yeah, but yeah. He probably only met 10 humans by that time.
Yeah. Look, I like the flashbacks. I like that we got to see how they met. I just feel like if they would have talked about it and left it vague, we could fill in the blanks in our imagination. It kind of takes the mystery away. It's like, oh, you met in the rainforest for a couple hours and now you're BFFs and you're going to spend the rest of your life raising your daughters. Now, Martian Manhunter having two daughters that died on Mars, that really, emotionally, that makes a good connection between him and Alex and Kara. And, and they have moments where he's like, "It's not the same, but I often think of you as my daughters." And oh man, I get choked up. That's good moments right there. That's good in the feel stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so basically, Hank Henshaw was going to kill Martian Manhunter. He actually says, the real Hank Henshaw, right? He's like, "Oh, the most powerful being on Earth. You know who calls you that? Superman." Which is cool. But then why is DEO hunting down Martian Manhunter? I never understood that if he was an established presence and Superman knew who he was.
Don't know.
Yep, never going to know and never going to tell us, because I feel like we're flashbacked out of that stuff. So we saw that basically Hank Henshaw dies trying to kill Martian Manhunter and Jeremiah Danvers, gets in the way and gets morally wounded. But he's like, "Oh, look after my daughters." And, Martian Manhunter assumes the identity of Hank Henshaw. And the whole plot line of Hank, he got outed as Martian and he got in trouble and then he went on the run. And now he's been exonerated of his crimes because he helps him grow. I like that whole arc because, yeah, he did impersonate a government official for a decade. I mean, that's kind of a big deal. That's exactly, and they make this point. And I like that about the show. You see both sides whenever people are doing stuff. Like the episode where they're interrogating him, and he's like, "I had you in my home with my children."
Yep.
My children. That guy's a complete jerk, but he's got a valid point.
That was straight up Godfather too. Yeah. In my home. Where my children play with their toys.
But yeah, I mean, he did everything that they fear aliens doing, so they needed a major event to kind of exonerate him, and I'm glad he's back on board. By the way, Hank Henshaw is wearing his wedding ring, right? Are we to assume his wife is dead already? What I mean?
On Krypton, yes.
Well, no, Hank Henshaw.
Sorry, Mars, God.
Well, no, yeah, but I'm talking about the real Hank Henshaw. Did he have a wife and stuff? Because obviously in the comic books, that's a whole story and how he becomes Cyborg Superman and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I don't know if that's something they'll address. Kind of like how Joe West always had his wedding ring. We didn't really find out what that was all about until season two. Maybe we'll find out something there with him. But yeah, I mean, that all ties together nicely. Now, it's been revealed to us that Jeremiah Danvers is still alive and he's being held at Cadmus Labs. So Cadmus is famous for a lot of things, a lot of nefarious experiments, but my theory is they're going to turn him into Cyborg Superman. What do you guys think?
I can see that happening.
I think that'd be the right move.
That would be a great move, and it would be weird if they made him Superboy or made him... that'd be just, weird.
Tom Welling for Superboy. No, he's too old for that now.
No, yeah, Cyborg Superman makes sense, and then from what you were... I remember you talking about it, that I had to look into it a little bit, that... currently, Kara's actual dad is Cyborg Superman. Anyways,
Zor-El, her father, is the Cyborg Superman in the New 52.
In the comics right now, in the New 52?
Which is stupid.
Oh,
that's garbage. But that would all make sense. Now, I can't wait. This transitions nicely into the last thing here I want to talk about. I can't wait for them to come up with an excuse of why, Cyborg Superman's here. Let's not call Superman, though. Supergirl can handle it, right? If Cyborg Superman shows up, Superman needs to show up and fight him, right? That's a very cabinet thing to do. Like, okay, Superman, they see Superman as a threat, right? So we need to have an anti-Superman thing. Well, here, I mean, it's the same concept of why does Lex Luthor make Bizarro, things like that.
Yeah.
Which we should talk about, by the way. But yeah, we're going to wrap it all up in here, like the state of Superman in this show, right? But if Cyborg Superman shows up, they're going to have some crazy excuse for Superman not to be part of that storyline. But it's coming. You know, I mean, they have to pay it off in some way. And I think that'd be the most satisfying way, you know? And then he sacrifices himself to, you know, die at the end and save his daughter or something like that, right? But I think him coming back as Cyborg Superman, like, what else would work, right? Like, what else could they possibly do?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, what else can Cadmus do?
I mean, clones and all that stuff. But
they've already had the Bizarro, so we can't do that again.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. So Superman has been around. So Kara's been doing her thing. She's been on Earth for 12 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say Superman had been on Earth for 3 years before Kara showed up. Let's just, for the sake of discussion. So Superman's been around for 15 years. He's never encountered Bizarro. He's never encountered red kryptonite. He's never encountered the Black Mercy plant.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be no hint of Luthor Corp anywhere.
That's correct.
Which would be the easiest thing, or Lex Corp, right? It would be the easiest thing to be like, oh, Lex Corp Industries. And you know, just you don't have to show Lex Luthor. You just, Lex Corp is a thing. I know they have the rights to say it. I know in the pilot we were like, do they not have the rights to say Superman? Because
they skip like over 30 times, right?
It's like, Big Blue, the Boy Scout, oh, the guy in Metropolis, your cousin, Kal-El. But anyway, they end up saying Superman. They do end up saying Superman as the
I remember yelling out loud, like, yes!
So what has Superman been doing? He's never encountered Brainiac, I assume. You know. So it's like, what's up here, man? Like, I get they want Kara to experience all these things for herself for the first time. Because for this truly being her story. Like, the show goes out of its way to be like, this is my story. And she says it like that too. I'm not just being facetious. She gets mad at Kat Grant when Supergirl gives Kat Grant her like exclusive interview. She's like, "Well, Planet Krypton was dying. My parents sent me here in a spaceship." She's like, "Yeah. I've heard it before."
Yep.
Which is great. I love.
I like how they diffuse those comparisons with just calling him out. But then, Max Lord made Red Kryptonite and Bizarro. Like, what has Lex Luthor been doing? Does he not exist? Like,
nothing. He ain't been doing anything.
In National City is Los Angeles, I guess.
Yeah, because the Staples Center is right next to Catco World Media.
But here's the deal. Don't you guys think we need to see Superman in some respect at some point?
We did see him in the finale.
I got so excited.
And she's like, here he comes, here he comes. So here's no Superman in the show. Like, we see a stunt double of CGI of him in a couple episodes earlier, like in the flashbacks where he gets Kara, and then in another episode where he saves Kara, we just see like him swoop in and save the day. And then they start like text messaging each other, and this is the thing in the background. And then we talk about him a lot, but we don't see him again until the season finale. If I guess if you count the last two episodes as like a two-part season finale. So Kara goes to the fort. Oh yeah, we go to the Fortress of Solitude. That's Superman. Yeah. And Kara goes there for help or whatever, and she asks Kilax, which is their robot, who was also in Man of Steel. So that's a cool connection there, and from the comic books obviously. But she's like, "Oh, where's Kal-El? I can't find him." And it's like, "Oh, Kal-El is off world." Like, okay, that's how we're gonna write Superman out of the fact we have a Kryptonian invasion going on. Superman's never be found. That's fine.
Like, Zach is not gonna like that.
So I'm like, all right, you know what? At least they addressed it, right? But then, they're at this Myriad project. Basically, the Kryptonians set up this device which takes over the mind controls pretty much the populace, and it's taking over National City because that's where their base is for, you know, because Supergirl's based there, right? That's the reason. Yep. And she gets a text message from Clark. He's like, "I'm coming." Like, "Oh, he's coming. And then we see CGI Superman flying. I'm like, "Oh, man, are they going to show us Superman? Are we going to get Superman?" And then he almost gets to the building. And then he goes and he lands and he gets in line with all these mindless drones. I was like, no, this show, man. I had to text Lance. I was like, this show, man. I used some colorful metaphors, too. But
I got to say, though, that was really confusing in the sense that they showed Alex fight her sister Kara, mm-hmm. it like by controlling her mind. Why couldn't they do that with Clark? You know what I mean?
I'll use him to do what they want him to do, though.
Well,
any like stop them from doing what, like, they could have just had Clark fight Supergirl.
Well, that'd be, and you know, if this was a show which had the rights to show Superman, that would have been awesome. Superman versus Supergirl, right? For the season finale, like, you want rate. Here's the problem with this show: the ratings have been going down, and the ratings are very disappointing for the finale. Like, it, they started off with almost 13 million viewers in the premiere, and that drops off. You know, and the second episode had about 9 million. And we're down to like 6 million viewers for the season finale. But the problem is, as well, that the show is so short; it's only 20 episodes. Mm-hmm. Which is not that short. I guess other shows are two more episodes, but it felt like, man, the season finale came really early, especially when we're comparing it, you know, people like us, our frame of reference is The Flash and Arrow. Yeah. And it's like, man, they got a few episodes left. They don't wrap up to the end of May. This is like a whole month early. It's just so weird. And I think it took people by surprise, took me by surprise that this was the season finale. And, man, they could have drummed up a lot of interest. It was like, if they just decide, look, this is not the Man of Steel universe, let's get somebody else in here to play Superman. Preferably Tom Welling, right? or Brandon Routh, right? Either one, you know? Just why not, right? But, or get somebody, because that'd be awesome to see Supergirl fight Superman. I mean, that's amazing. That's the kind of stuff, you see this stuff in comics all the time. Kind of like when Supergirl was on Red Kryptonite, right? Oh, why don't we call Superman to take care of it, right? That's the obvious thing to do. Martian Manhunter had to out himself, and that was the whole plot line there. I just feel like, okay, they skimmed by getting around, they skimmed the issue of Superman. They got by. But they cannot keep doing this, right? Because Superman, the worst part to me of all of this the whole season was he gets knocked out by the Myriad device.
Yeah.
And we just see his boots and cape on this table in the DEO, and that's all you see. I'm like, that is the most disrespectful thing and I've ever seen.
It's not his show, guys. It's not his show.
This is my story. But you know what I mean? Like, we cannot be doing that anymore. Like, just... Dude, I don't know, kill him off, have him leave. Like, but don't we have – it's almost worse to have him around but not have him around.
it would have been like, hey, you have Flash. Just do a boom tube thing, and he gets thrown to another universe and then can't – just forget about him for like a couple seasons.
I guess they want to just have Supergirl do her thing. Like, if Superman did die or disappeared or was gone for a long period of time, they would have to address that in saying like, oh, look, the Rockets just won by 1 point. Talk about dating the podcast. But hey, way to go, guys.
Hey, it could be rating when this comes out. Now I'm mad.
but they would have to address, like, Supergirl, that would put her in a completely different mindset. Like, I have to carry the mantle of Superman now. You know, instead of, I'm my own person, I need to distinguish myself from Superman. So I understand why they don't want to do that. But I don't know, maybe like season 3, they start running out of ideas. Let's just kill off Superman or have something happen to him. Where she has to be the Superman and she has to take on the mantle of the House of El, right? So that's what I would like to see, because I think we can all agree, like, this whole walking on eggshells around Superman is not going to fly.
It's very interesting that I didn't even think of it, and you brought up that, like, there's no Lex, there's no there's nothing. What has Superman been doing?
He's off world.
He's off world. Yo, but
what's he doing off world?
What's he doing off world? Is he with the Justice League? Is there a Justice League? Is there?
Well, there's no Flash. We know
there's
that.
There's no Flash. I don't know.
Kara does make a reference to somebody has a mask in one episode. She's like, I thought masks were for that other city.
Yeah.
Like, is that Gotham? Because people just they is Gotham going on right now in the Superman universe?
It could be. It would be funny if it is Gotham, but, like, in the future.
Then I'd have to watch that show. What are you doing, Fox? You cancel Firefly after 13 episodes, but Gotham gets 3 seasons?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. When you say it that way.
Yeah, Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles only got 2 seasons. But
And I like that show, too.
It was a good show. Yeah, there's no Justice League. What is Superman? He's just been saving cats out of trees and, you know? plane disasters and helicopters, right?
Yeah, and what's interesting is, like, Red Tornado was scary enough for him to come and save her. Like,
Red Tornado, that would have been good, but it wasn't. It was the what's the guy's name that Jimmy Olsen named, the stupid name? It's like a poor man's Metallo. Reactron. Yeah. Reactron. I love that. So in this episode, the framework is Alex is starting to figure out that Kara has a crush on Jimmy Olsen, and so she's kind of giving her a hard time about it. And then Kara finds out the name of this guy is Reactron. She's like, Reactron? What a stupid name. Who came up with that? And Alex is like, Jimmy Olsen. And we, you know, the Superman watch is established there. There's a lot of good in this. Like, I liked the Red Kryptonite episode a lot. Even though I was kind of questioning the no one discovering Red Kryptonite until now. Like, interesting, they're going with the whole kind of Superman 3 approach where it's a science experiment gone wrong that turns Superman, even though it's not Red Kryptonite, Superman 3, that's what everybody refers to it as. Fake Kryptonite, manufactured synthetic Kryptonite. There you go. The Bizarro thing, though, Bizarro, like, having a Bizarro Supergirl before having a Bizarro Superman, like, that's kind of, I don't like that. That's unacceptable to me, in my opinion. But, you know, I really liked the Toy Man episode. I think that was the first really episode. I was like, this is an excellent show, at least in my opinion at the time. What did you guys think of that one?
That was a really good episode. It was probably their best episode, I think.
It's hard to say best, like, overall, because I think maybe the Martian Manhunter stuff is pretty strong.
It was one of the better, like, beginning episodes, trying to introduce, like, if they were trying to go for the Freak of the Week thing, it was one of the better Freak of the Weeks.
And it fleshed out, you know, when. And then you're like, okay, so he's the Toy Man. Did he only do that one thing that went into prison? Like, another Superman villain didn't really do anything. Well, and then we have Non, right, who's traditionally, you know, he's with Zod and Ursa or Feyora, depending on which interpretation you're going for. We have him here, and he's nothing like his comic book or movie self. But then, you know, in the season finale, him and Kara have that heat vision battle, and Kara eventually wins. And then he gets his eyes, like, burned out. And I believe that I think they're going to do is that's what lobotomized him, you know, because it burned his brain and all that. And that's why he's going to be, like, the Non from the comic books, which I think would be cool. Because that's the logical end to a heat vision battle. You know, not like this explosion that happens and then they get blown back. Like, you're going to get messed up somewhere there. And that was a pretty gruesome way to do it, because you kind of just see him, like, twitching and, like, you know, on the ground.
That whole fight was very, like, it was savage, it was gruesome, and I did make a small point that it was kind of dumb for Indigo to be out there in the middle of the desert with nothing, for like, no escape plan.
Well, I guess their escape was the ship. Then what a way to ride around the Kryptonian army, right? Oh, they're already asleep, ready to take off. It's like, really? And you know, we can't talk about the end of Supergirl without talking about what Superman or Supergirl do in every interpretation. Lifting something into space, right? Can we please have a Superman anything in without this going on? Superman the movie, he throws the nuclear missiles into space. Superman 2, he throws the hydrogen bomb into space. Superman 4, he throws every nuclear weapon on Earth into the sun. Superman Returns, he throws a kryptonite continent into space. And the Smallville series finale, he pushes Apocalypse out of the solar system.
Yep.
Which is pretty high powered for Superman.
Hey, Superman.
Yeah, Tom Welling, clearly the strongest of Superman. And then in this, we got Supergirl lifting Fort Ross into space.
You forgot Batman versus Superman. Oh, as well.
Kicking Doomsday into space, yeah. Which is a good plan, though. I mean, if you can fly in space, why not? Why not throw all your problems into space? Well, I'll tell you why not. Superman 2. That's why not. He throws a bomb into space, and then that releases the Phantasm criminals. So.
Yep. Also, like, why were they so, like, scared for Kara going into space? Superman can breathe in space a little bit.
I don't know.
Like,
maybe he can. Maybe not. Maybe she hasn't learned to do that yet. Maybe they're like, oh, Kara, there's no air. There's no momentum. I'm like, Superman goes, as we've established, Superman flies in space all the time. So
they even say he's off planet, so we know he goes into space.
And here's what I thought was gonna happen. I thought Superman was gonna save her from being floating in space, right?
That's what I was hoping.
That's what you should do. That's how the story should end. That's the logical end to that. Not her sister got in the Kryptonian spaceship and flew it. Like, whoa, that, like, I'm gonna pull a Nick here and assume that they've been studying the Kryptonian pod for the last 15 years or 12 years or whatever, and everyone in the DEO knows how to work it, because how is Alex gonna just jump in the ship and save Kara like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And she's had that pod forever, so yeah, I guess she could have learned. But I loved it, because when I called it on Twitter, I was just like, why would you show her looking at that ship, like, randomly in that shot? And it's like, yeah, I'm just gonna get on that ship. But
yeah. But, I mean, the whole season was kind of about their sisterly bond and stuff. So I get why they wanted that. But, I mean, all Superman got to do was send her a text message. Like, hey, good job saving the Earth.
Yeah. He's like, hey, thank you for saving me. Yeah. That's it. No pat on the back. No reward.
Hey, Clark, I'm having people over to my apartment later. You want to come? No, none of that, right?
No, you ain't coming.
I got my own things to deal with.
So we had – what is the name of the song? I forget the name of it, but it's
Charlie
I'm Only One. Call Away.
Yeah, it's One Call Away by Charlie
Superman
Puth.
Superman can't save the day.
It's Superman ain't got nothing on me.
Yeah, of course. So of course, I even tweeted this, like, of course, this song.
What's funny is this song was actually before Supergirl, so it kind of worked out.
Oh yeah, it worked out well, and it's like, oh, they're having a nice little ending here, wrapping the season up in a bow. You know,
I liked how she popped the bottle just using force.
Yeah,
the
champagne
cool.
trick. You know, we get all the characters here. Her mom is there with them, and you know, Hank Henshaw and all them are there, just hanging out at her apartment, and her and Jimmy are finally together. So, and then finally, we got to talk about the cliffhanger. You know, they're having their CW moment at the end. Oh, the Flash crossover, right? It was great. I loved it. It was everything Batman v Superman was not, and it completely captured both characters with doing them justice without sacrificing things from either one of them. It played to their strengths, and it was great.
My favorite quote is from that episode is like, "You four non-threatening, racially diverse people look like you guys would be casted
belong
on
the CW show."
Yeah.
that's what reminded me, and I feel bad I almost forgot about it, but that's the line that reminded me. Oh, we didn't talk about the crossover. I thought that was great. Grant Gustin and Melissa Benoist have some great chemistry.
It's because they're filled with glee.
Yeah, and I'm so irked that was like overlooked. They could have totally did something about that. Like, they should have just said, if they just said the word glee.
They did not have time for karaoke, Nick. I'm sorry.
They could have just said, hey, you two look gleeful today. And it would have been great. That would have been it. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, well, I love the crossover. And I know that Barry kind of got there by accident. So I don't know if they'll, I mean, hopefully, you know, once again, knock on wood, Supergirl gets another season or two and we get another crossover somehow. So, maybe Barry figures out how to get back there because it was great. I mean, I would love to see Kara show up, you know, in the Flash's world.
Mm-hmm. I do have news about that. I have a friend who happened to go to the DC trade show, and that was one of the questions if Supergirl was renewed for season two. They said yes, but they didn't. That's all they said. They didn't say anything else about it. So I don't know if that means they are really talking about it to see if they were going to switch
stations. You think it might go to CW?
It might go to CW, but it has been renewed.
I have some thoughts on that. So, Lance, did you have anything else to say about the Flash Supergirl crossover?
No, I loved it.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to talk about season two just for a couple minutes, and we'll wrap it up here. But so the cliffhanger here is we see the Kryptonian pod fly by, you know, National City. It crashes. Kara and Martian Manhunter go to check it out. She opens the pod. We don't cut away from her face, but she says, like, oh my God. It's like Supergirl. that's mm-hmm. the end of the season. And you're like, so what do you guys think it is?
It's Mon-El or Zod?
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think it's Mon-El. What about you, Nick?
I have no idea.
Zod would not be in a ship. You know?
Oh, true.
Would he? But, I don't know. And that's the end of Smallville season 8. Mon-El's a character that they should have used in Smallville. I'm shocked they didn't.
I have no idea who's going to be. I don't know that much of a Supergirl mythology to make a good guess. Like, people are saying Crypto to dogs. Like, but why would a dog be in a human-sized pod if I put a dog rather than somebody else?
It wouldn't have been Crypto because, like, they wouldn't have had that reaction if it was a dog.
It's like, it's like, oh, my God, it's a dog.
It would have been like, oh,
well,
my God.
Superman hasn't had anything else happen to him. I guess he's Crypto, all right.
Oh, it'd be really interesting if it was Kal-El.
Yes, I was just going to say that. What if it's baby Kal-El? I'm like, what? She has to raise Superman, and there was like some kind of time-space distortion where...
And that would explain why Lex isn't there yet.
This Superman is an imposter of some kind.
It's going to be
funny. That would be the most amazing thing ever, Lance. I don't know what you're talking about.
And then it would bring so much doubt to Jimmy. Like, he's like, what? Who have been working with this all this time?
Yeah. Like, that would be crazy. Like, that would make it would make it would about make it spoilers. It would make about as much sense as Jay Garrick being Zoom, but it would be an awesome twist, wouldn't it? Anyway, I don't know.
That would work. Sorry, I just got excited.
I'm really excited. Not gonna be disappointed if it's not Kal-El, right? but really, I mean, what else could it be? Who else could it be? Right? I mean, Lance, we just did a whole season on Kryptonian villains, so I don't think it'll be Zod.
Yeah.
And I think that gives them a new story angle. Like, she raises Kal-El. But there is the story Last Son by Jeff Johns and Richard Donner. Richard Donner being the director of the first two Superman movies from the 70s and 80s. They wrote a story about how Zod and Feyora had a child in the Phantom Zone. And then he came to Earth, and Clark and Lois raised him as a son and that kind of thing. They named him Christopher Kent, obviously in honor of Christopher Reeve. Yeah. So that would be another angle, I think. But I think if they're going for like pure shock, like weird sci-fi story potential, having it be Baby Kal-El would. But then they have some serious explaining to do.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, they'd have a lot of explaining.
But so does The Flash, and they seem to refuse to do so. So, so season two, right? So I had a thought. You talking about them moving to CW? I had this terrible thought. You know how they moved Kara to that office?
Yeah.
Notice it's a very cheap looking office.
With no windows.
She's all by herself, so she doesn't need to interact with the other characters, right? This is total, like, just in case we get moved to CW move. We keep Melissa. We can dump everybody else, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, think about it, though. Why move her from, like, I'm in Grand Central Station here outside of Cat Grant's office. Jimmy's down the hall, Wynn's next to me, right? All the established cast members are there. Why move her to this, like, you know, corner office?
Because she can see through walls.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It makes a lot of sense if they were thinking that in the back of their mind. Like, that would be weird because not many shows change networks, and when they do, it doesn't work out too well. Remember when Scrubs went to ABC for that last season?
Okay, so Buffy went
to WB though, right? Buffy went from WB to UPN, right? So that seemed to work for them. But anyway, go ahead and defend Scrubs, Nick.
Sorry. I'm just defending it because this is exactly what Bill Lawrence said. It's like, if I had the opportunity to give my friends that I've been working with for X amount of years a job and still hang out with them, I will do it. So right. I'm just going from the
where's your artistic critics. Integrity? Where's your Chris Nolan where there's only three Batman movies?
But it was a very lacking show.
Well, I believe we talked. We've had the same conversation on the show before, Nick. I think you and me. Because then I remember I retorted your comment with what Tom Welling used to say about Smallville. He's like, look, if I quit, like 100 people lose their job. I'm no Superman. There you go.
There you go.
There's a tie-in. So yeah, if you guys had to give season one of Supergirl a letter grade, what would you give it?
A B.
What about you, Nick?
That's what I was looking for. I was either looking for B+, B, B minus. I think I'm going to go with B.
I am too. I think this is our first consensus.
Because there were a lot of episodes that I enjoyed, but there were also a lot of episodes that I felt like it wasn't needed. But it's also that I think it's also apologetic, though, because it is the first season. But you have all these other shows that you're up against. How do you stand out for the pack, you know? Mm-hmm. That you could see from the ratings that, like, from 13 million viewers all the way down to what the six that it is right now, 13 million because you were just writing off the name. And if it slowly went down, it didn't really – I think it coasted around 7. On average, it was 7. So it did have a good viewership for its 7.
I mean, it's getting twice the viewership of The Flash, but that's just by the virtue of being on CBS.
You know? CBS, yeah. And that's what's going to be interesting because we mentioned that there was a lot of great costumes, great effects, and if they do have to switch stations, it would be very interesting to see how they keep that up.
Yeah, we've all seen those CGI flashes on the Flash.
And King Shark, though, thank you, King Shark.
Well, he took all the budget.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Ironically, I think the Flash being on Supergirl probably helped it more than the Flash. You know what I mean? And we have to address real quick the Flash's side of the Supergirl crossover. It was this past week on The Flash. So he's testing out the tachyon harness or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's running, and he's like, oh, I'm running faster than I ever have before. I'm going to push it. And then he disappears for, like, you know, 10 seconds.
Yep.
And he pops back in, and he's like, oh, Cisco, Caitlin, how long was I gone? I'm back. And they're like, you were just gone? Like, you just left, man. You're back. He's like, oh, really? Oh, okay. And then Harrison Wells walks in. He's like, there's no way to get to another Earth. And he walks out. And no one says anything. It's like Barry Allen should be like, no, I was just on Earth 3. There was a girl. She was an alien. She was flying. Like, that's – they had to say something. Yeah. I mean, I get they want to be self-contained and stuff, but that is just – come on. Like,
I mentioned that maybe it's because they weren't sure that there was going to be a Supergirl crossover episode, and then they could have just used – like that, but I was surprised if they wanted to make it the Supergirl crossover, they would at least reshoot a scene of him explaining what just happened.
Oh, I'm sure they knew well before they shot the scene. It's just the fact, I mean, he's wearing the harness and all that stuff, but they could have just said, hey, I went to another Earth. Oh, really? Spent 2 minutes talking about it. Okay, well, that was a one-off variable. You need to focus on Earth 2. There's no way you can guarantee you're going to get there. you know, or they can have an episode where he's trying to jump to different Earths and he like experiences a bunch of the multiverse. That might have been fun.
Oh, it would have been really interesting if Barry actually
pops into Smallville. He pops into '90s Flash. He pops into you know.
Wait, did they give Barry anything to hold on to from?
He always hold on to Smallville. That's what he should hold on to.
No, from Supergirl.
Well, he had his iPhone with him. Remember? Because I guess he keeps the iPhone in his suit somewhere because he took somewhere. A picture. Yeah, he needs to show him these pictures. Speed, like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he has all these pictures because the reason why is like, hey, you can easily now give it to Cisco.
Right. Well, the whole
can open up.
The whole premise of this, yeah, exactly. Cisco can vibe that item or whatever. But the whole premise of this latest episode of The Flash was we cannot get to another Earth. Like, there's no other way to get there other than these breaches. But you just went to another Earth. So
yep.
If it wasn't so blatantly like in the face of what they were trying to do, it wouldn't have stuck out as much. So I don't know, Flash. Like, to be honest, this last episode of Flash is pretty disappointing, huh, guys?
For a 3-week break. To get only that?
Yeah.
I was just like, what?
Well, you're supposed to get the Jay Garrick Zoom, like, confrontation. Like, explain to us, show us your history, Hunter Zolomon. And then also, oh, cool, the Supergirl crossover happens here. And for those two major things, I feel like we got let down on both, to be honest. But exactly. We'll see. They still got time. I actually like Jay as, like, the psychotic Hunter Zolomon. He's like, oh, it's so fun pretending to be a hero. Like, yep. I buy him as the psychopath, mm-hmm. but then his plan is, like, a time remnant. Like, no, that's BS. Like,
yeah, that was dumb.
I don't like that at all. And so the Man in the Iron Mask has got it. Here's my theory. This is always along the Flash now. But my theory is it's John Wesley Shipp's Flash from the 90s show. That's my theory. Well, I mean, seriously, think about it. They go to Earth 2. What do you see? You see Legends of Tomorrow stuff. You see Supergirl stuff. And you see the 90s Flash stuff. All that stuff is going to be paid off in some way. Right?
Let's hope so.
You have his character on the show. He asks Zoom, like, who is in the mask? He's like, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. Like, that's my theory. I don't know how they work it out. Of course, you know, they didn't – I don't know how they're – I still don't know how they're going to work out Zoom and Jay Garrick. I guess they feel like they've properly explained it. I don't feel like they properly explained it. But he was so much cooler than he was just Tony Todd's voice, right?
Yes,
like,
I agree.
He's so much less menacing now. But really, who do you guys think the guy in the Iron Mask is?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
All right. All right. You're done. You're off the podcast.
Okay.
Oh, don't protest.
I was making this joke. I kind of wish it was, but I know it's never gonna be. I was like, it should be Shazam. That would be so funny because, like, think about it. You will not believe it's a kid who can
all right
use magic. All right. But
you're just full of horrible suggestions, Lance. Yeah, not Lance, who do you think?
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
Lance, who do you think it is?
Well, at first I thought it was gonna be because he was spelling out J. So
the real Jay Garrick.
Yeah. And that's what I'm going to still like lean towards because like, I don't know what else it could be. Maybe it's another Jay from another time, another Earth.
But there was no Jay Garrick though, according to this guy's story. Right. So,
yeah, but then what, but also you forget that Wells knew Jay Garrick.
Yeah. But it was Hunter Zolomon shaved and no one recognized him. Like, that's their story. They're sticking to it.
Yeah. It's weird. They, again, as you say, they have a lot of explaining to do.
Well, it could still easily be the Cobalt,
Blue. The twins, yeah.
Yeah, the twins. It could be actual Jay Garrick, but it could be his twin, Jay Garrick. That's why you wouldn't believe. It's like, it's actually Jay Garrick.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I thought it was going to be Eddie Thawne the whole time, but I boy, am I going to be disappointed. But I'm going to go with John Wesley Shipp, 90s Flash. I'd be very excited for that to happen because, you know, they have to cross it over at some point. Because unlike Supergirl, we know there's more seasons coming to The Flash. So, guys, if people want to find you on the internet, where can they find you, Lance?
They can find me on Twitter, at Sir Lance Laster.
What about you, Nick?
You can find me on Twitter as well, at Nick Ryan, NickRyan.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter personally, at MoronZach. That's MoreonZach. And as for the show, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville, with one S. And you can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. Or if you want to send us an email at Always Hold On to Smallville. No, I did that again. But we did it last episode, too, a couple episodes ago. You can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. All right, so we're back to our regularly scheduled Smallville discussion next week with Leech, one of my favorite episodes from season one. And in fact, the whole show has Sean Ashmore, Iceman, as a Freak of the Week, one of his two appearances on Smallville. So looking forward to that. And we'll be back then. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.